primary calling as a church corporately and as Christians individually is to join God on his mission to redeem a people for himself to dwell with forever. The ultimate mission of God is that, to redeem a people from all nations to enjoy and exalt him in all of his glory. That's not a throwaway. I think that should be up there. The ultimate mission of God is to redeem a people from all nations to enjoy and exalt him in all of his glory. Not just to know certain things, but to enjoy God and to exalt him in all of his glory from among all the nations. That's what God is about. Without debate, that's God's ultimate mission. But the question I want to ask this morning of all of us is, will you join him in this mission? Joining God in his mission brings purpose to our lives. Whether a young man or a woman, a working parent, either at home or in the workplace, or an empty nester, or one who is in the winter season of their life. One of the joys I had in Zambia was being reintroduced to a couple that Joy and I have known since they were at our wedding back in 1989. I knew his wife in 1986 when I was a 17-year-old teenager going to Papua New Guinea, and I think there's a picture of them up here as well. This couple were in Zimbabwe for a number of years, and then they were in Zambia for the last 20 since 1998, and so they're like 82 years old, and they continue to serve there. He's been shot twice by people in Zimbabwe in particular when they were there. They ended up moving to Zambia, which is just north. It's a border country. They moved into Zambia, been there for however many years, almost 30 years, and they continued to work. He's had heart attack there. He's battled prostate cancer, and they continued to minister. He's an elder in our church there as well in Ndola, and just a godly couple. And when I look at them, I consider if the Lord gives us good health, I want to be like them. Not necessarily in ministry overseas, but I want to be a couple and individuals who are joining God on mission till the day we die. So really the question is, do you want that same thing? Whether in the USA or across the world, as long as the Lord gives health, may we join him in his mission to redeem a people from all nations, to enjoy and exalt him in all his glory. Again, the ultimate mission of God is to redeem a people from all nations, to enjoy and exalt him in all his glory. Consider with me the first foundational reality of that statement, and it's this, that God creates all people in all nations in his image to enjoy and exalt him in all of his glory. God creates all people in all nations in his image to enjoy and exalt him in all of his glory. This truth is firmly entrenched in Scripture. From the very first chapters of Genesis, as we've spoken of these last number of months, from one man comes thousands of years of people. And today, the world population is approaching 8.1 billion people. That's just the people that are alive today. So how many billions of people have come from that one man, Adam, by God, creating? He's the one who gives life to every single person. Isaiah 42 said, thus says the Lord God, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. God is the one who creates. God is the one who sustains every single 8.1 billion people on this planet, all people from all nations, not just here in Dayton, Ohio, not just across the U.S., but across all nations, from the smallest village to the biggest city. According to the Joshua Project, there are about 17,313 distinct people groups in the world. I thought it was kind of funny that they said approximately 17,313. But anyway, that's what they said. So just quoting, these are the nations that God created. 7,000, though, 278 of them are currently unreached with the gospel. I think it's around 42%. I don't know what the, speaking of Margaret here, I don't know if, how many of those actually have any sort of scripture in their language. How people need the Word of God to know how God's revealed himself in it. Of the 8.1 billion individuals, the unreached amount to 3.4 billion people. Not one people group or individual on this planet, though, is invisible to God, not unknown to God. He created and he knows them all, and he creates all these people, male and female, in all nations, in his image. We were created in his image so that we would enjoy him. That's why people are created, to enjoy him, to enjoy their creator. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, says the psalmist. For you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let the peoples praise you. We just sang that song. So rich. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. All the nations. We were made in his image so that we would enjoy him. We were also made in his image so that we would exalt him, to lift him up as the highest and most glorious one. That's why we were created. We weren't created just to exist. We were created for him, to enjoy him, and to exalt him. It's the story of Genesis, it's the story of Scripture, and it's the story of our lives. The question is this what we're doing? Individually and as a church. To lift him up. The one whom for whom we live and move and have our being. Psalmist says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. So all mankind, all these people groups, and every individual ever created, including the 8.1 billion today, including you and me, have been made in his image so that we would enjoy him and so that we would exalt him in all his glory among the nations, not just in our homes, but among the peoples. Well, sing to the Lord, the psalmist says, a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. The Westminster Catechism, larger catechism, answers the question, what is the chief and highest end of man? It says the answer, man's chief and highest end is to glorify God and fully to enjoy him forever. This is our purpose. This is why we're created. Yet while we were made to enjoy him and exalt him in all his glory among all the people in the nations, 100% of the 8.1 billion people have sinned against God. And they've fallen short of his glory. We know this to be true. We know this by way of Scripture, Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Throughout the history of mankind, people in all nations, including you and I this morning at one point, have questioned God's word. We've denied God's goodness. We rebelled against God's authority. We haven't just been semi-not good people. We've been hostile towards God in everything that we do at one point. As nice as people are, hostile to God. Romans 8 says, for the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Apart from faith, it is impossible to please God. We are, the reality is 8.1 billion people were or still are today enemies of God, hostile in their goodness and in their evil towards God. That hostility of unbelief and denial has consequences for the here and now. Separation from the one for whom we've been made to exist and enjoy and to exalt in. Every single person who has ever lived that has faced the consequences of sin in the way of physical death. It's a part of the curse. The physical death, dealing with spiritual enmity and evil, physical toil and trouble. We've seen this in Genesis 3 in particular, and then throughout, how people just have moved towards self-sufficiency and making a name for themselves. Not joining God on his mission, but like creating their own mission. We see it in conflict with one another and and ultimately the second death, eternal condemnation before God. And this leaves us in a bad place as humanity, all 8.1 billion people, 60% which have perhaps heard the gospel, 40% which have yet not heard. That leads to the second foundational reality that I want us to look at on this Palm Sunday. And that is that God so loved the world that he gave his son to redeem, restore, and reconcile people from all nations to himself for eternal life. This is what God has done for us. And we, of course, are familiar. I think my Christmas sermon was on this passage, John 3:16, that says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life," which means that all people will perish, except, as it speaks to the second death, everyone is appointed to die, every single one of us. But the second death, not everyone will experience. The people who have trusted in Jesus will not experience the second death, which is the eternal one. He gave his son to redeem a people for himself from among the nations, to purchase, per se, out of slavery and bondage to sin and to death and to Satan, and not only free us, but make us his own people, his own family, to make us his children. Paul tells us this in Ephesians 1. "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth." He's purchased us out of slavery by the gift of his son. He gave his son to restore us to himself. He gave his son to reconcile us to himself. To those who are out of relationship with him, those who are hostile to him, he is not only forgiven in Christ, but he reconciles us to himself, restores us to himself, restores us to that which we exist, for that which we exist. Paul reminds the Christians in Colossae, he says this, "You, friends, who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him." God did not just love the world so much that he sent his son to... He sent his son to die for us, to redeem us to himself, to restore us and to reconcile us. And so Palm Sunday is him as king walking, as a humble king, walking through those gates to the praise and adoration of people who will in 6 days or 5 days will end up wanting him dead. And in so doing, fulfill God's plan, which was from eternity past, so that we would be redeemed, restored, and reconciled to him, if we believe. He redeems, restores, and reconciles people from among all the nations to himself as the giver and sustainer of life. And he does so that all of us who trust in him will have not just life in the here and now as we enjoy and exalt him, but that we would enjoy and exalt him forever and find our greatest purpose both now and then. We're all looking for purpose, right? We're all looking for a mission to be on. One man calls it a dragon to slay. What's the dragon? Here's a good one. Here's the massive one. John says in Revelation 5, a verse that's very familiar from even earlier, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe, from every language and people and nation." Not just Americans, right? But around the world. "And you have made them a kingdom," one kingdom, "one kingdom, priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." You hear the victory reality, even though in today there is suffering. there is one day where we will reign on the earth with King Jesus. I was freshly aware of the power of the Lord and his gospel as I saw people that God had been working in for years, small communities that none of us have ever heard of. We can get so, again, myopic in our perspective, begin to wonder if the power of the gospel has lost some juice until we hear and read or we see the work of God in the smallest of places and the most closed off of places, whether in the jungles of Papua New Guinea or Costa Rica, or whether in Mexico or Colombia, or in Angola, or in Kenya, or wherever we are, or in Dayton, Ohio, wherever we go, God is at work. When you see the work of God throughout the world, you are reminded of this next foundational reality, and that is God's ultimate purpose will one day be fulfilled. God's kingdom is growing. God's kingdom is being extended around the world. People from all nations will enjoy and exalt him in all of his glory for all of eternity. Today, there is a war that is going on to some extent, but like as we spoke about in Acts a number of years ago, I think it was like 9 years ago, 8 years ago, spoke about God's unstoppable mission. Nothing can stop his mission. All sorts of things are vying against his mission. Everything is moving against the human heart, the hostility that mankind, 8.1 million people have against God. Minus those who are born again, but the ones who are hostile, they're hostile against this. They're hostile against the kingdom of God. They want their own kingdom. They want the kingdoms of this world. They want a king for themselves. But we have King Jesus, the one who rules the everlasting kingdom. He's our king. God's ultimate purpose will one day be fulfilled. People from all nations will enjoy and exalt him in all of his glory for all of eternity. Revelation 7 says, "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb.'" At this point in human history, it will have been thousands of years, the first time people held palm branches in their hands as King Jesus entered the city, only to call for his crucifixion a handful of days later and seemingly destroy his mission. But rather, Christ's mission was succeeding. And this mission is spreading across the world until one day when we see him face to face, that there'll be people from all tribes and all nations singing the song of finality. Salvation belongs to our God. It's his to offer. It's his to hold. He will redeem a people for himself to dwell with. That's the mission that God is on. He's not striving to create a more moral nation or people. He's not trying to establish the trappings of a religious spirit around the world that wins out in some competition with other ideologies. He creates all people and all nations in his image to enjoy and exalt him in all his glory. That's what he's about. That's the number one thing. That's the overarching thing. It's the foundational thing. And it's the foundational thing that we need to be part of as a church. He so loved the world that he gave his son to redeem, restore, and reconcile people from all nations to himself for eternal life. And his ultimate purpose will one day be fulfilled. An untold number of people from all nations will enjoy him and will exalt him in all of his glory for all of eternity in his everlasting kingdom. That you can take to the bank every single day. You can trust that. And so I'm saying, join his mission today. We're on his mission today. You've been, if you've trusted in Christ, you've been saved. You've been brought into his kingdom. The Abrahamic covenant that we've spoken of so much over these last number of weeks, the Abrahamic covenant will be fulfilled finally, where all people from among all the nations will be blessed through the offspring of Abraham, ultimately through Christ Jesus. So what we talk about in Genesis 12 will be and 13 and 14 and 17 and 22, and as we've spoken about it all the way through, and the promises of God's covenant to Isaac and to Jacob, and then as we see to Joseph and to David, and as we continue on in God's covenant all the way through the new covenant that we experience today, God will redeem a people for himself to dwell with from among the nations for for his enjoyment and for our enjoyment and for his exaltation, to spread the glory of his kingdom and his person throughout the world. The kingdom of God, with Jesus as the king who entered Jerusalem in humility on a donkey, who would humble himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross, yet rise again as the victorious king and ascend to the right hand of the Father, where he would rule and reign in his kingdom until that day that he would come to judge the living and the dead and would dwell among those whom he purchased with his own blood for eternity. That's the kingdom. That's the kingdom we've come to a humble king who humbled himself even to death on the cross. He made himself obedient to God. He came to ransom sinners. He came to serve, not to be served. There's untold number of men and women from among all the nations who have been purchased with his own blood for eternity will kneel at the throne on that final day and will worship him with great enjoyment and great exaltation. Can you envision the wonder of that day? Just to use holy imagination for a moment. And then picture, well, just look around. And you realize what we're doing on Sunday mornings and what we're doing as a church family is like a little picture, a little slice. Intermixed with sin, intermixed with suffering, intermixed with difficulty. Sometimes our hearts are in it, other times our hearts are not in it. Sometimes we feel vibrant and alive. Other times we feel depressed and anxious. And yet what we get to do together is to enjoy the one for whom we were created, who has redeemed us, restored us, and reconciled us to himself. And we exalt his glory among the nations that are here in this room. The ultimate mission of every Christian is to enjoy and exalt God in all of his glory among all nations. So God's been at work. God's at work. God created all people. He's given himself so that people could be made right with him. And that work is going to be completed one day. Well, what do we exist for? What is it we exist for? We exist, the ultimate mission of every Christian and every church, every gospel preaching, every true church, is to enjoy and exalt God in all of his glory among all nations. We want our lives to matter. We want to make a difference, but so often get very lost in the monotony of life. Whether it's the parenting or the relational struggles or the workplace or the schoolwork or amid the draw of many good things that were given by God to enjoy in this life, not to mention the many unhelpful things that potentially bad things even that we're tempted to fall for. Each one of those things can serve to distract us from what we've been created for, and it leaves us wanting. It leaves us desiring something more, something entirely meaningful. We want something more in this life. We're all hankering for it. We want to look for it. We're like trying to find it in all sorts of places. But when we consider that the ultimate mission of each and every one of us individually and us as a church family is to enjoy and exalt God in all of his glory among the nations, well, we're considering the greatest mission and purpose there is in this life. This message could be being communicated in a boring manner, but the message itself is the most important thing that we exist for. It is what we exist for. It is who we exist for. It is what we exist for as Christians, and it's what we exist for as a church. And we get lost in a lot of things, but this mission is what we have to be about, what we need to be about, what we want to be about. It's what we were created for. So I want to ask you two questions this morning as we begin to wrap up. First question is this: do you enjoy God in all his glory? Do you enjoy God in all his glory? We were made for that, right? So the question is, do you enjoy God in all his glory? Psalmist says this: O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. And so I've looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. And because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food. And my mouth will praise you with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. For you have been my help. And in the shadow of your wings, I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. Now suppose a question we can ask ourselves here is how well do you know your God? Nature reveals his glory. When you look to the sky, do you see the handiwork of God? I went to Victoria Falls, there's a picture here just last week, and I grew up near Niagara Falls, and I asked Joy to marry me at Niagara Falls, which was very romantic. But Niagara Falls was always just this amazing thing to me. And it is amazing. Niagara Falls is amazing. Victoria Falls? I thought for sure Victoria Falls is not going to be near as good as Niagara. It's just this straight line of water. It's so powerful. And this was in the middle of a 3-year drought that they've had. It's absolutely stunning. And you could look at it and say, wow, the geological wonder. Or you could say, behold our God. With the border of Zambia and Zimbabwe, and I felt the glory of God as my body just got drenched with water and the power of it. Or when I had the privilege of going on a small little safari, you can imagine a white guy, a real white guy among a bunch of Africans. I felt every bit of a tourist as I could. But being able to see the rhinoceros in the wild and being able to see African elephants in the wild. God is the creator of them all. To see the wonder of a little baby forming in the womb. We have the joy right now of all of our kids expecting children. And so we saw Josiah and Amelia's, the little baby inside the womb. And just the intricacies that God is creating and holding together with the word of his power. And if the Lord would see fit to have this baby go to full term, that there'll be a baby in their arms and in our arms in a handful of months. The sound of a thunderstorm. The power of a thunderstorm. The meal that you have each day, which is not promised across the world, but it is just something we experience here today, looking at the meal at lunchtime and considering who provided that for you, who made that chicken so tasty. He created it all. And then on this Palm Sunday, as we consider Good Friday this week and enjoy Easter morning, how aware of you of the glory of God in the face of King Jesus who came to redeem, restore, and reconcile his people to God and to each other. What is it you look for power in your life? What is it you are hoping for? What is it you're looking for forgiveness or for relational reconciliation? What is it you're looking for all that you need, for meaning in life, for purpose? Do you trust in the proverbial horse and chariot, or do you trust the Lord your God and enjoy resting in his infinite goodness? In Christ, we have been given the rest we hunger for. So friends, we have a choice to rest in the King, rest in the Lord amid your days. Look to the skies and give him glory. Look to the various gifts he gives us to enjoy and give God glory. Look to the eternal redemption, restoration, and reconciliation we've restored as we've received in the Savior of Jesus Christ on the cross, and we give God glory. So we sing songs, give him glory for all that he's accomplished, all that he's done. And so let the nations be glad. not the nations only. Let my heart be glad and let me exalt him. Look to the eternal redemption of Christ. And as we see him more and more, as we look to him more and more, we will enjoy him more and more as the days go by. And we will find a sweet sense of fulfillment in life as we grow in what we were made for, to enjoy him forever. So, first question was, do you enjoy God? The second one is, do you exalt God in all of his glory among the nations? Again, consider the words of the psalmist here. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, and that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. To be blessed as a follower of Jesus Christ means that we become a blessing not only to those in our inner circles, but to the nations. May the Lord's face shine upon us so that the way of the Lord may be known in the earth. May God be gracious to us and bless us, not just to bless us, not just to give us joy, but through our good works in this world or the declaration of the glory of God, that we can spread the word of God, exalt him to a world in desperate need of a Savior for finding their ultimate purpose in life. We're chosen, we're called, we're regenerated, sanctified, and adopted into God's family to exalt in his glory among the nations. And the Holy Spirit's been given to us so that we can do that. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the end of the earth. It certainly doesn't mean you have to go to the ends of the earth, although we would pray that those billions of unreached people among the nations would see a people enjoying God in all his glory and exalting God in all of his glory through some of you here in this room. And some of you would feel this sense that you must go. And then others of us feel compelled that we must send. We pray that whether here in Dayton, in Ohio, or in the USA, or across the globe, that we would be those who enjoy and declare and display the good news of Jesus Christ for the joy of all peoples, that we would be living for that mission that is much greater than just our own little world. This means we must be purposeful, not simply to evangelize, but to live out our purpose, joining God in his mission to spread his glory among all peoples by enjoying him and exalting him in all of the many relationships we have in this world, with family and with friends and with neighbors and coworkers and students. We do so through our actions in marriage. We do so through our actions in parenting. We do so through our actions in our relationships, in our private lives, through our social media interactions, in our cultural involvement, through our words, through the finances God gives us, through our prayers, through our sacrificing our very lives, through faithfully supporting our workers in the Mediterranean, by our purposeful support of global mission through our family of churches, and by prayerfully considering whether God's calling us to go to the unreached peoples or to send. Friends, the spread of God's glory among all nations is not an optional program for a few Christians in the world. The spread of God's glory among all nations is the ultimate purpose for mission of why we exist as a church and as individuals. And God's plan for accomplishing the Great Commission, disciples of Jesus, maturing and multiplying disciples who plant churches among all nations, we partner with God in growing a people who enjoy and declare and display the good news of Jesus for the joy of all peoples. And God's promise to be with us. Jesus has promised to be with us even to the end of the age to accomplish that mission. The Great Commission is not a comfortable call for Christians to come and be baptized and to sit on their hands in one location. But it is a costly command for all Christians to go, baptize, and to make disciples of all nations. We enjoy the word, and we want to grow in enjoying the word and declaring the word and displaying the word, and we do so not simply by going, but by living that way here in our families and in our church, in our workplace, schools, vacations, and truly in every area of our lives. And we do so that the glory of God would be manifested among every nation, people group, starting with Jerusalem, with Dayton. Again, we don't exist as Christians or as a church to make better versions of ourselves or to simply have a more moral impact on the culture. True Christian discipleship propels Christians into the world around them and the world thousands of miles from them to risk their lives for the sake of others who don't yet know the enjoyment and exaltation of the glory of God for whom they were made. If we as a church just come in week in and week out and just kind of do church, then we're failing. Our Christianity will be lackluster, and we will always be looking for something to excite us in order to keep us coming. Our attendance will be haphazard. Our church will become attendance at church will become a chore, and rather than an opportunity to enjoy God and to exalt Him together, to serve in places like Sovereign Grace Kids, it gives purpose to that because we're joining God on mission, not just looking after some kids. Through our generous giving, it will seem like a small thing to give generously, because we're partnering with God in His mission to redeem a people for Himself to dwell with, and we're finding our greatest joy in that. Through teaching and being taught, through song, prayer, and the sacraments, and through being sent back into the nations as we depart each week. This is why we exist, to join God on His mission. That is the perfect mission. There's no way it's going to fail. So invest in this mission. And God is going to redeem a people for Himself to dwell with. This gospel, Jesus says in Matthew 24, this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed through the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. As I observed a myriad of people in the airports on the way home just yesterday and the day before, I see in Lusaka so many hundreds of people milling around from different nations. I looked at people in Ethiopia, in Addis, on the way where we stopped for a little bit and saw a myriad of peoples, different people groups, all people whom God loves, people who need to hear the gospel. Then as we stopped in Toronto, just massive amount of people in the airport of all sorts of different nationalities. And coming to Dayton, we're a small city, but the nations are here. You're part of the nations. We don't have to go far away to join God on His mission, to redeem a people for Himself, to enjoy and exalt in Him among all the nations. So consider your life this morning. Just about done. Consider your life this morning and consider what God's doing. And consider how it is that you're choosing to live in light of your calling as a Christian. Will you find your purpose in joining Him on that mission among the sphere He has placed you in, whether your home or your workplace or your neighborhood or school? You're a young mom. You can't go to Ethiopia. You might want to go to Ethiopia sometimes, but you can't go to Ethiopia. You got 3 kids at home, 2 kids, 5 kids, whatever. Your mission. Your mission, God's mission, is to redeem a people for Himself to dwell with from among your very family. So invest. Find your purpose. And find great joy in enjoying God in all of His glory and exalting Him among your family. Will you find your purpose in joining Him on that mission today in your family and in your workplace and in your home, in your neighborhood or your school? Perhaps you'd be willing to consider that God might be calling you to an unreached people group, or to a group that is just entirely atheistic. They're not unreached with the gospel, they're just absolutely resistant to it. I think of Japan. They need to hear the gospel, and they need to not only hear the gospel, they need to see the gospel displayed through years of interactions. Perhaps God's calling you. Have you considered that? Would you please consider that? We're praying that God will send people from our very church. Maybe it's to utilize the resources He's graciously given you to be generous and send others to go and partner with them. It's one purpose, one mission that each of us have been called to join, and it's the mission that will not fail. What greater purpose is there to experience than to partner with the very God who created us for his glory, loved us, redeemed us, restored us, and reconciled us, to enjoy him and to declare and display his glory among the nations of the people of the world, whether locally or globally, that those who are currently lost in their sins and remain under the just, righteous wrath of holy God might hear the gospel and might, by the power of the Spirit, respond to the gospel and be redeemed themselves and restored themselves and reconciled themselves to God, that they might go and make disciples of all nations. Is this not something that you want to live your life for? Is there some other better life to shoot for, to live for? May the Holy Spirit ignite the fire of God's very heart for the nations in our own hearts this morning, and not just this morning, but as we go out into the nations, out into the mission field this morning, outside of these doors. May we look at our neighborhoods differently. May we look at our families differently. May we look at our workplaces differently. May we look at our schools differently. May we live for the purpose of God and joining him, not redeeming a people. We're not redeeming anybody. We're just joining God by way of enjoying him and by exalting him, speaking about him, which is why we say we exist to glorify God by maturing and multiplying disciples who enjoy, declare, and display the good news of Jesus for the joy of all peoples. May it be so among us. Amen.